Amen. Let us bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for this great opportunity. Thank you so much for the graduates today. And thank you for always, always being present in our life. And we appreciate you so much in what you do for us. And we don't take for granted. So Lord, as we speak today, we ask you to speak to someone's heart and let it be transformed. Let them know that you love them so much that you will do miraculous things in their life. And the pearl that's so valuable, we hope they can find it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. So I want to say, again, thank you all so much for especially the Advantage team for working with Sister Tracy. I appreciate that. And all those who work with the Connections team and all that, I appreciate everybody, Children's Ministry. Thank you all so very much. And please come out tomorrow night for our business meeting at 6 o'clock. It won't be long, so just come. Clear the schedule, right? So I want to get through this so we can, I want to get to it. It's so important, right? So the title of the message, The Pearl of Great Value. Everybody say The Pearl of Great Value, right? In Matthew chapter 13, here's what Jesus, and he was given a parable, and he told multiple parables in that 13th chapter, but this one I thought was very important. And I want to share with you because it really changed the world in a major way. You got to remember, Moses had given the law. And when you go back in the Old Testament, and Moses had given the law, the law was given so the people could see their shortcoming. Right? It wasn't really given to them to help transform them. It was really given to them so they can realize what they were doing were wrong, and so they could see them. Right? So then Jesus comes on the scene. And Jesus is unique. He's birthed by this woman, and his birth is immaculate because the Bible, the narrative is that he does not have a father. His father is God, right? And so that makes him unique. But his mother was natural, so they say he was both divine and natural, right? And so that's interesting because when you read John, it's going to bring some things out. But Jesus came in, he brought a very, very powerful message. And when Jesus came on the scene, he kind of changed the game. And he was trying to tell everybody, he said, listen, there's a new sheriff in town. God has a new message that's really revolutionary, right? And I want you guys to understand what it's all about. And when Paul picked it up, it really makes a lot of sense. So we're going to talk about it. So when he gave this parable, and parables are stories and messages that he takes something natural and something spiritual, and he kind of like give you a spiritual message through a natural message, right? And he hid it from a lot of people because a lot of people was not ready. And you gotta remember, the religious community was very strict, and they wanted to follow things the way they wanted to do it. So when Jesus came on the scene, he shook up everything. And his greatest enemy, man, was not the Roman Empire. His greatest enemy, man, was really the Jews, all right? The religious community was his greatest enemy, even though he came from God and God gave him a message to deliver to people. And it makes sense because whenever you come to upset the apple cart, people are not ready for change, right? But Jesus was the change agent, right? Remember that. He was a man that was a change agent, right? And God used him in such a mighty way. But he was trying to tell us, man, what God was going to do to each one of us. And he's trying to give us that message. And that's the pearl. And we're going to talk about it. So here's the story. It says, he gave this parable. He said, the kingdom of heaven. Everybody said the kingdom of heaven. Now, you got to understand the kingdom of heaven, because most people don't understand. A lot of people who've been around kingdom enemies for a while, they understand what the kingdom of heaven is all about. The kingdom is God's governing influence. Now, young people, I want you guys to get this, because it's going to change your life in college, right? The kingdom is God's governing influence in your life, right? God starts to govern your life and help make decisions in your life, right? So here's what he says. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field, right? In his excitement, he hid it again. He found the pearl. He found this great pearl, right, that was so valuable. And when he found it, he was so excited because that's what he's looking for. He went and hid it again, right? He said he hid it again, and he sold everything he owned to get enough money so he can buy the entire field, right? So everything, so when you go back to that community, he took all his religious teachings and everything, and he threw it out the window, right? because he had found this great pearl that was so valuable. So Jesus comes with this great pearl that's so amazingly powerful, right? That he said, understand what this kingdom is all about, right? He said, because it is revolutionary. He said, and it's like a king, like a man who wanted his pearl. He found it and he sold everything. He hid it and sold it. Then he says this in the next verse, right? Verse 45. He says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. So this merchant is going through the market looking for choice pearls, right? And then he says this in verse 46. And when he discovered a pearl of great value, he sold everything he owned and bought it, right? Because this pearl was so valuable, right? That nothing else mattered because this pearl was going to change his life forever. So why did Jesus tell this story, right? Why did he give this parable? Because he said the kingdom of heaven is like that pearl. And those who find it is willing to give up everything else for this kingdom, right? And what is the kingdom? And we're going to talk about that because it's so important for you to understand the value of it. Because most people go to church and they never get it, right? And so in Matthew 23 and 13, here's what it says. It says, but woe to you scribes and Pharisees, those that fight scribes and Pharisees. He says, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, those are the religious peoples of the day, right, who knew the law, they taught the law, interpreted the law. He said, you ain't nothing but a bunch of hypocrites. And this is Jesus talking to them. He said, you scribes and Pharisees, you're nothing but a bunch of hypocrites. Here's what he says. For you shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. Right? He says, for you neither enter yourselves nor allow those who would enter to go in. You won't go in and you won't let anybody else go in. You know it, but you won't do it because you like controlling people's life. Right? So you want to keep the status quo. So because long as you keep the status quo, everybody got to come to you. Right? Then he goes on and says this. He says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you travel across sea and land to make a single proselyte, and when he becomes a proselyte, you make him twice as much a child of hell as you are. Right? Now, he says, now listen, you religious, you go around and you get all these people and you evangelize and you disciple people and you make them as much of hell as you. Right? So what's going on? So it's interesting because it's a game changer because he's talking to the religious leaders who's supposed to know, right? And he's talking about, and he gave his story about this pearl. So then in Matthew chapter 3, and we're going to get into this, here's the thrust of it. In Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, it says, in those days came John the Baptist. Here's what he was preaching. He was preaching a message. He said he was preaching, Glenn, in the wilderness of Judea, and he said something. Here's what he said. I want everybody to repent. Now, everybody needs to repent. But if you're religious already and you're doing what you're supposed to, why do you need to turn? Because repent means you need to turn. So whatever direction you're going, you need to turn it around because you're going the wrong direction. Right? And so he says, repent. Now, this is John the Baptist. And he tell all the religious people, and he said, you need to turn. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, right? Now, that's just John. So then Jesus come in Mark, and here's what Jesus says in Mark. Now, after John was put in prison, they took John giving this message about the kingdom. He's talking about the kingdom, and he's calling people out, and called out the Pharaoh and all of them, and he said, listen, bunch of junk is going on, but I'm telling you about this kingdom. This kingdom is a powerful message. Is someone coming after me that's greater than me? He said, I'm not even worthy to lace his shoes, right? He said, this is different, right? And then he says this, right? It says, Jesus came into Galilee preaching. What was he preaching? What was Jesus preaching, right? So Jesus was preaching the gospel, everybody said the good news. It was great news. It was really good news about the kingdom of God, right? It says about the kingdom of God. And saying, here's what he said, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. The exact same thing John was saying, right? Then he told him, he said, you need to repent. And now the Messiah is telling them that, right? So now we love Jesus. So Jesus said, listen, you guys need to repent. So whatever you're doing, turn it. He said, because I think you're doing it wrong. He said, you need to wake up and understand what's happening, right? So he's trying to give them a message that was going to revolutionize their life, right? And it was the pearl that was so valuable that they was going to be willing to give up everything. Now, why would you talk about a pearl that's so valuable that you're willing to give up all your religion? What is this pearl, right? He telling the people that's religious, the scribes and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, the interpreters, of, you need to find this. Once you find this here, the rest of it don't mean nothing. None of your rituals, none of that stuff mean anything once you get the pearl, right? So now, look at Luke 17, right? And when he was demanded of the Pharisees, they demanded him, right? When the kingdom of God should come, because this great thing that he's been teaching is about this kingdom. He says, when is this kingdom going to come? You're talking about this kingdom and the gospel, the good news about this kingdom is so valuable. You even told us a story about it in a parable about this kingdom. And then if they find it, it's like a pearl that's so valuable that you're willing to give up everything else for it. He says, when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. He said, you're not going to be able to see it. You can't see it. It's not observable. Then he says this. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is what? The kingdom of God is going to be in you. Now that's different. Now you got a different message. Now it's powerful. Because now if the kingdom is God's governing influence and now it's going to be in your life, it's a pearl that's so valuable that nobody can stop me now. Right? And he said, then I'm unstoppable now. So now I know I'm bad because now God is going to be residing inside of me. Now you got to remember, that's revolutionary because back then they only dealt with certain people and the religious leaders wanted everybody to come to them for answers. Right? But now all of a sudden Jesus comes and listen, it's not even about me. It's about the message of the kingdom and it's really about God coming inside of you. And now God is going to reside where? In man. That's a great pearl. Now, if you don't, the problem is most people never understand the pearl, so we live our life as though somebody else is telling us what to do. Because all our lives, people have been pouring into us. They've been telling us what to do, right? We never, and those who find themselves and they go deep down inside, nobody can stop them because God, greater is he that is in you than he is where? In the world. But you have to recognize him in you. And once you find out that God is really residing in you and he's working through you, the game changed. No fear, right? I don't care who you are, what you say don't matter anymore because I know who I am and whose I am, right? Now, that's big. Jesus even said this, once you really get it, you don't even need a man to teach you. Because God is going to reside in you, and he's going to teach you all things. But he told us the Holy Spirit is going to do it. Well, that's God operating inside of us. We don't say that. We say, well, I got the Holy Spirit. But what is the Holy Spirit? It's the Spirit of God living in man, right? And we talk about the Holy Spirit, but we don't move like we have it. We don't really, most of us haven't really found him yet. We talk about him, but I know you don't have him, a lot of us, because we don't move like we have him. Right? We don't move like we have it. We move like we need somebody else to do something for us. I need a husband or I need a wife or they need to give me a job. No, you don't need nothing but God. Greater is he that's in you. And watch this. There's some people in here so brilliant. I'm watching stuff every day. I just look at people and I'm like, man, this is amazing. You know, and I said, man, God, look at the creativity in people. The ingenuity in people. Look how smart and brilliant people. Where'd it come from? He said, it's me. It's me working through them. It's never them. It's this really expression of me, right? They just recognize who I am in them. And once they start doing it, nobody, I wish you guys, how many people went to Stephanie thing yesterday? Right? Now, you get to see this young girl who was just a young girl a few days ago, and then she decided that she was going to go to school, get her doctorate. Not only do that, then I'm going to start this book thing, and I'm going to do this here, and I'm going to have this event, and it's going to be so. Where did it come from? Where in the world did Stephanie get the idea from? Right? God gave it to her in her mind. She thought about it and manifested it, and she thought it was going to be 40, and God tripled it. Because once he worked through your mind and you realize who he is, nothing and nobody can stop you. And once you realize that, then I don't care what come up against you, you won't let nothing stop you. But you got to believe, and you got to search for it. You got to run. And a lot of us, we all didn't search. I need God. Lord, come, Lord. I need you now. I need you to heal me right now. He said, I'm there. There's nothing going to happen in your body except through me. He said, I operate inside of you. He said, every vessel, every blood vessel, he said, every muscle, every tissue, everything inside of you, he said, I'm running the system. He said, you can take all the medication you want. It's got to work with my system. And if I don't like it, I reject it. And if everything that's supposed to make you well or make you sick. Right? Now, and so God says, and everything is here. So God resides in the mind of man, right? But let me get through this so we go. So now listen, this is important, right? So Matthew 13 and 46, he says, but seek ye what? He said, I want you to make God the priority in your life. He said, you got to seek God first, right? He has to be the priority in your life. Listen, if you don't believe in you, it doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter what I say. It doesn't matter what I give you. I can buy you a house. It does not matter until you. Right? The God said, you got to believe that I'm in you. He said, you got to seek me first. And you got to go inside of you and realize that I'm there. You know he's there. He said, because you can go to the depths of hell and I'll be there. Read Psalms 139. He said, you can go to the highest mountain. You can get to the wings of heaven. He said, I'm going to be there. Wherever you go, he says, I'm there because I'm not leaving you. Because I am invested in you. And I never create anything unless I want it to be a success. So I'm always knocking, letting you know that I need you to wake up and realize who you are. And whose you are. Right? So he says this here. He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be what? Listen, when you realize that God resides in you and he's moving, I don't care how hungry you are, you're going to figure out a way to get some food. If you don't have no shelter, you're going to figure out a way to get shelter. Right? If you don't have a ride, you're going to figure out how to get a ride. Once you make your mind up, whatever you put your mind to, whenever you make up in your mind you're going to do something, and you make it up in your mind, I don't care what everybody else says. You can't listen to me because I already don't think you're nothing. You know, that's, I'm just talking to people in general. They don't think you're nothing. They act like they, she can't do it. I don't know why. I don't even know why she's doing all that. She's never going to be nothing. But you don't determine that. Because the same God in you is in me. So what makes you think he can do it for you, but he won't do it for me? I just got to believe it. That's why he said, who to believe. Right? And when you find the pearl and you believe, nothing is impossible for you. Nothing is impossible. Now, everybody, well, I don't know about all that. Well, don't believe. You say, nah, God don't work like that. And then you just keep on living the way you're living. And you're going to keep on getting the same results that you got. But if you want something different, it's only going to happen internally. The God in you, I don't care what anybody do for you, it will not have an impact until you decide in your mind you want to make it an impact. And God, when God, in John, and he says, in the beginning was the Word of God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, right? And then the Word became flesh, right? And he dwelt on. Now listen, Jesus was born by a woman by the name of Mary, right? How did he get to be God? How did it happen? It happened because you got to go back to Genesis, because he was already the mind of God. So God took his mind and put it in the baby. And the baby became the Christ. Right? So the Christ, it was Jesus, the Christ. Why did he call him the Christ? Because he kept the mind of God. And you know it because everything he did was about loving people. Everything he did from that point on, when he came after, it was always about transforming the lives of other people. You know when you found the pearl, because it's never about you anymore. It's always about the kingdom. It's all about how God moving in your life. You ain't going to hustle nobody no more, because you don't want to hustle nobody anymore. Right? Because your mind is changed. So now when you see somebody, you look at them differently. Now, why? Because I found the pearl. Right? So I see you different now. Old folks say, like I said, my hand look new. And my feet look new. That's what the old folks used to say. Right? When the transformation that took place. Right? Now, let me get going. Right? So now, listen, because I know, okay, it just went away. Okay, go to the next screen, because my iPad went there. Go to the next slide, Jay. Now, right? Now, watch this here. I want you to hear it well. Right? It says, so the Word became what? The Word of God became human. Now this is in the King James, it said the Word became flesh, right? The Word, everybody say the Word, became a human. So God's thought became a human. Right? Now, but he was born of a woman by the name of Mary, but his thought became human. Now watch this, it's important, because it's the thought of God. Here's what he says. And made his home among you. If you look at Hebrew, Hebrew among means within. Look it up in Hebrew. Among means within. So that means God, watch this. So the Word became human and made his home in you. Because God got to reside somewhere. He just walking around here, man, hocus pocus. Like he's just floating around the room. I can feel the presence of the Lord. No, you feel the presence of the people. Because we're energy. If you don't believe it, study quantum physics. They'll tell you, man, we're particles and it turned into wave. And that's why you can go to the party and change the party. Smith used to do it all the time in Atlanta. You know, he went in Atlanta, man, he's like, hey! He just stuck a foot in the door and the whole party changed. So what Smith said, here, Lord, don't do me like that. Listen. Hey, raise your hand if you ever came home happy, and then when you walked in the door, the whole energy changed. Yeah. Because people, God resides in people. He said, I'm a spirit, and I'm energy, right? And I move, I can feel it. That's why in church, you got to watch it, because everybody here, I can switch right now. I can put Onika up here right now, and she's different than me. Different spirits, right? So Nick get up here, man, she can start singing, and she like, oh, and she, how y'all love it, everybody be up. All of a sudden, the music start playing, it gets certain hurts, and that's why, do we have any DJs in the house? Am I lying? They can take a music, and you can be dead as a doorknob, they know what hurts to make the whole room jump. That's why DJs make so much money. Because they no joke, that's for real talk. That's why some make a couple dollars like me. When I used DJ, I made my own stuff on Apple. The kids was just dancing. But you go to the club, and you come in there down, they say, watch this. And you got to remember, the music is energy and its waves. And that thing will touch your body and you get electric. And you be on the side. You don't even dance. You be like, Sister Knox. You know, she had surgery, so she ain't gonna dance. She'll be on the side. See what I'm saying? You know, you can't do nothing, just move on the side. Because I'm in pain, so I just move like this. Just a little. But you feel it, you know it's in you, right? Yeah, right, yeah. That's the power, man. Listen, you got to understand the power of God in you, right? So now listen to what it says. So the Word became human and it made his home among you. He was full of unfailing what? Love. You know it's there because when a person gets saved and when they first get him in, that's why he talked about the seeds. So when he said you can spread the seed and some fell on different soil, because when it first hit, it feels so good. And you know it's the power of God because you can feel the love. It's unfailing love. You like you love everybody. You just want to hug people. Right? He says, it's unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the what? Father, one and only Son, the Holy. Now, we're not talking about Jesus now. We're talking about the Christ. We're talking about Jesus, the Christ. Well, who is the Christ? That's the Spirit of God that became human. The mind of God shifted to the mind of man. And then Jesus says, if you don't believe me, the very works that I do, you can do it too. I'm no different than you. That was the human side of him talking. He said, I'm no different than you. I just believe. I found the pearl. And now I'm able to lay hands on people and they change. But here's the thing. But some of you guys the exact same way. And women are really good at it, right? So I can get it. Watch this. I can get them to do whatever I want. That ain't no joke. That's real talk. They can change the enemy. You got the power to change the mindset of somebody. You can change the whole energy of the room. You can walk in. He can be down and mad all he wants. You just whisper. I didn't come and just kiss me on the cheek. Then I buy a new dress. It works every time. It works every time, right? So you got to understand the power of love, right? So they found this pearl, and this pearl changed you. And watch this. What love will do, love will make you rich. I promise you. Because love will make you give. And whatever you give, he will give it back to you. Good measure pressed down and shaken together. Whatever you give, if you sow it, you're going to reap. So once you get this thing and you find it, all of a sudden, man, this love start coming. And when you give love, you get it right back. And you always go, if I plant an apple seed, I might get a whole orchard. Right? So that's the evidence of it. And then and he said, the unfailing love. Because now that thing comes in you. And now all of a sudden, I don't cheat on my test no more. Because I just don't think it's right. Because I don't want to offend God. It ain't the teacher. It's not even my friend. So I tell my friend, I can't do that. Because I don't feel right doing that. I feel convicted. Now you know when you don't have them, you say, just give me the paper. Right? I won't keep you good. So you got to understand how God works. All right? Now, go to the next slide, Jay. Nari. Right? And watch this here. Watch Romans. Right? He says, and Christ lives where? And this is important because I'm going to wrap this thing up with this one. So if Christ lives in us, then who is the Christ? I was listening to Tracy this morning. She said, she was teaching on Galatians, the fifth chapter. She said, and you got to feel Jesus in you. How many of you ever heard that before? I just need to feel the presence of Jesus in me, right? What you really feeling is the presence of the Christ. But now, all of a sudden, Christ is in your mind. Right? Once you feel the presence of Christ in the mind, am I doing something wrong? All right. Right? So you feel Christ in the mind. So watch this here. Watch what he says. And Christ lives within me. Where? Where is he? Where is he in me? It's got to be inside. Where is he? Got to be in my mind, right? Because my mind is the place, man, that controls it all. All the creative thoughts is in the mind and imagination. That's why I said, whatsoever man thinketh, whatever's done in the dark. They ain't talking about you cheating. That's not what he's talking about. Whatever's done in the dark. So I know you guys been cheating. You was hoping it didn't come to the dark, come to the light. That's not what he's talking about. Everything in your mind is in the dark, and then it comes to the light. Everything in the dark, it eventually comes to the light, and then it's manifested. Whatever you start thinking about, it comes to the light. Right? So he says it. He says, Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die, right? Because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. How? Because of Christ. Where's Christ? In the mind. What is he? He's a spirit. He's the mind of God. That's why Jesus said, you can kill a body if you want to. Bury me. He said, I'm going to raise up in 3 days. Yeah. Yeah. I'm talking about the physical body. He knew, man, that it was the mind of God. That's why you can, if you want, kill a person if you want to right now. Stop him right now. And watch God raise him. Some of y'all, they thought you was dead, not physically. They thought your career was over. But because you gave your life to God, he resurrected you. He resurrected you. And everybody said, man, I thought he was dead. How did they get a job back there again? I knew they wouldn't get another job. Because they did what? They repented. And when they repented in their heart, God flipped it. Right? And that's why you can have multiple resurrections. And that's the thing, because you got to get the spiritual story out of the physical. Right? And that's why he said, listen, man, this grave can't hold me down. But what is the grave in your life? The grave could be a whole life. It could be your debt. It could be a relationship. It could be a variety of things. Right? And that thing, and you could have made decisions, and that thing, man, has almost killed you, and you have to make another decision to be resurrected. And I know you say, well, you know, he said he's going to put it in the seal of forgiveness and remember no more. Right? And he will. Because he's inside of you. And if you don't put it in the sea of forgiveness, it'll never be forgotten. You got to put it in the sea of forgiveness to remember it no more. Because if you keep bringing it back up, it'll keep on living in your life. And the thing that was dead, you give it life. You keep giving it life when it's already done. It's over with. That's why Paul said, forgetting those things behind me and pressing forward. You got to know who you are in Christ. You got to understand this pearl. And when you understand this pearl, Christ living inside of you, no weapon formed against you will ever prosper. The devil in hell can't stop you, right? So he goes on and says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead does what? I just said, that's why the covenant said you got to show me where it's written, right? The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead got to raise you from the dead. Now, the problem is we think everything literal. Well, I'm dead, and he's going to raise me back from the dead. The only person I know he did that was Onika's grandmama. He's the only person I ever know he ever did that to. Raised a dead woman back to life. She was dead, and God brought her back to life. Only one ever seen do it. Right? I heard about it. I didn't see that, but I heard about it. Right? Now, here's the thing. Now, watch this here. The same Jesus, the same Christ, the same God, the same Spirit that raised up Jesus lives in you. That's why you're here. Because every one of you all been died. Every one of you all been buried. Every one of you all been in a situation where you thought it was all over. And you know how you're going to get out and God resurrected you. Every one of you all. It's not a single person alive. Right? And so God said, and why did I do it? He said, because I'm trying to show you who I am. And some of you don't even recognize me, but those who recognize him change their life. And when they change their life, they have more power. Right? And then he said, that's when he said, there's no weapon. There's nothing. There's nothing you can do to me. Because you can kill a body, but you can't kill a spirit. Right? Now, so he goes on and says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he would give life to your mortal bodies. By the same Spirit. Right? That's why you got to, when you read John, you got to understand the Christ. You got to understand the mind of God. When you get back to that John, it didn't make sense to me. I didn't understand it. I tell my wife all the time now, I said, don't even fade me what people do no more. Because I used to judge people. I used to be very critical of people. And God said, what's your problem, son? You don't even know you don't know how I'm working in nobody's life. He said, the evidence that I'm in your life, he said, you just love people for who they are. He said, and make sure, he said, when you do that, then that's me working in you. Amen. And you have the ability to heal people. You can think about something and make it happen. You don't even have to be there. The power in you is so strong, when you have, you understand who Christ is, I can think about it and it can heal you. That's how powerful it is. You know, Glenn Gray is here today, right? I want to tell his testimony, but for real, from the guttermost to the uttermost, we talked about this when they thought it was over. And I kept telling the story all along. I said, you just love God and don't listen to people. And just keep serving. That's right. I'm leaving you with this. God is inside of you trying to take control of your mind. So the kingdom of God is God's governing influence. That means God is inside of you trying to govern your life. Tony Evans said it this way about the kingdom agenda. It's the comprehensive rule of God in every area of your life. Every time you move, you think about God. I don't do nothing unless I think about Him. How is it going to impact the world? It's the governing influence. Amen. That's the pearl of great value. It's understanding who Christ is in me. Now, you don't have to believe it. You can keep on doing what you're doing, and you keep on begging and borrowing. But he said, I've never seen the right forsaken nor the seed being ready. The reason why? Because you can't give and not get back. You can't bless and not be blessed. You just can't do it. He put the principle in place. And most of us are in position, man, because we won't do nothing for nobody. And we call ourselves, we like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. We taught Jesus, but we don't really believe it. That's why Jesus said, you ain't nothing but a bunch of hypocrites. Because you play acting. You don't really believe I'm inside of you. You just tell people that. Because if you did, you'd change the way you talk. You'd change the way you walk. He said, you'll sanctify your life. And then how you treat, everything's about how you treat people. Everything's about how you treat people. That's the evidence, right? Quit judging people, man, about their lifestyle and what they're doing. When you know yours is not right. Spend some energy trying to get you right with God so you can be a blessing. If they're not right, pray for them. And if you got a relationship with God and you can get a prayer through, then I should be able to pray for you and make it right. Ooh, that was a mouthful right there. Because you say you got the Holy Spirit and God working, and you talk, pray for them. If they're not right, you pray for them. What you praying for? Why are you talking to God if you don't think He can make it happen? Everybody stand to your feet. Give the Lord a hand clap. I went a minute over. I was supposed to be done. Let's bow heads. For those who do not know who Christ is and you want Him in your life, we want to give you opportunity to accept Christ into your life and let Him be the governing influence of your life. All you got to do is ask Him into your heart. If you ask Him to your heart, He's so willing, desire, man, to help control your life, help you make better decisions, better choices. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for each person in this place. Give me some music, Jay. Thank You for all the blessings that You bestowed upon us. Thank You for watching over us when we weren't even watching over ourselves. Lord, we ask You to heal in the name of Jesus. Give us the strength and the power to be able to represent You with our whole heart, genuinely from the bottom of our hearts. We want to love people the way You want us to love them. Thank You for forgiving us. Thank You for giving us another chance to say yes to the kingdom, yes to Your message. Thank You for the great pearl. We appreciate You so much. And Lord, as we leave this place, we never ever want to leave Your presence. We want to know that we're in Your presence. So every time You remind us that You're there, give us the desire to draw even closer to You. Oh, we thank You so much. Give us traveling mercies. Look over the graduates, Lord. Let them make great decisions. In their freedom, Protect them, Lord, as the enemy come and try to throw them off course. Give them your guidance and direction. Let them seek you, and let you be the priority in their life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The altar is open for those who like prayer. We'd love to pray with you. So the altar is open for those who like prayer. Sister Frieda, don't forget to come get your card.